Yeah, he comes with his own theme music. Jeffrey Cleveland joins us right now. Chief Economist Peyton Riegel, looking at the FOMC minutes that have just been released. And wait, why that song, Jeff?
Cleveland rocks. I love it.
All right. Well, there we have it. Look at these minutes. What do you see? What were you looking for, and did you find it?
Well, I think the market has moved a lot, Corey. But, you know, since summer of last year, whether you're talking about the equity market or the fixed income market, the 10-year treasury yield is quite a bit higher than it was last summer. And the question was, well, has the Fed moved a lot? Has the Fed really changed their outlook? And, I mean, looking through the minutes briefly, I would say not that much. I think the market is pretty certain that Mr. Trump will be a boost to the economy. I think policymakers want to wait and see. And if you look in the minutes, it said about half of the participants of the FOMC have incorporated some more expansionary fiscal policy into their outlook. So I guess the other half haven't yet. And it was indicated that, you know, the timing, the size, and the composition of the stimulus will matter for the outlook. And so I just think policymakers are perhaps a little more dovish, less hawkish than people thought going into the minutes.
Wait and see. We've heard this from the Fed. Yeah.
Wait and see once again.
Yeah,
it depends.
Right. Exactly. Right. Sounds like what I say. Well, it sounds like what I say to my daughter. It depends on what happens. I mean, what's the big worry here? You know, we were just talking with Joe Weisenthal, our Bloomberg Markets editor, and Dave Wilson, our Bloomberg Stocks editor. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about I feel like I hear more and more people, Jeffrey, talk about the possibility of some kind of recession. I've heard short recession that we could maybe get, and then things kind of resume, you know, off to better territory. What are your expectations?
Carol, I don't see a recession anytime soon. I think that's a story we can put off for a while. I think we still have this cycle can run. I think the myth is that people think, you know, you have a certain number of months and then a cycle has to end, and we're sort of 88, 89 months into this expansion, so it must be old. But I think, you know, there are other countries that have had expansions that go on for much longer. The Australians, you know, going on for several decades now. So it's just a myth that the expansion gets old and has to die.
What would kill it, though?
Usually, it's a boom and a bust, right? You need to have a party in order to have a hangover. And so you need a sector that's really seen a misallocation of capital, too much debt issuance in a particular sector. And I think maybe a year ago, you could have pointed to one area, Carol. You had your energy bust.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of debt issuance that went into energy extraction, and that the air came out of that. But that was regionalized. That was very that was contained, and it didn't spread to the economy as a whole. So we didn't see a recession. And for me, it's hard to look around. I don't see an obvious candidate. It's not like housing in 2005, which was, you know, a huge part of the economy. There we had seen a big misallocation of capital. This time around, it's harder to see that.
Let me push back a little bit on the things you need for a recession. I mean, you know, in the tech boom in the 90s, there wasn't a lot of debt. It was purely equity, but it was market speculation that sort of got carried away. Purely, you know, really in equities without debt, a lot of IPOs of worthless companies and so on. You know, I wonder what the economic effect of all of these, you know, the 150 plus unicorn companies are. Again, a place just like CDOs were in 2007, not a place we were all looking and maybe didn't realize how important it was for the broader economy. But I wonder about the flood of venture capital money to these tiny businesses and what that's doing to the economy and how that's driving economic returns. So, you know, maybe it's obviously because I'm sitting here in San Francisco, I see it happening all around me.
Yeah. But
restaurants, housing, vehicle sales, you know, we've got all kinds of things being driven by that.
When you look back, I think the other lesson, Corey, then, is that not every recession is the same.
Right.
The depth and the magnitude of that 2000-2001 downturn, it's shallow. It's almost non-existent on a chart compared to 2007 and 2008. And for me, the real key difference is in 2007-2008, you had a debt
leverage,
bubble,
yeah,
which was spread to the financial system, which propagate across the entire economy. And I think you had that much less of that in the prior period, the 2001 period. So even today, if we do have an misallocation of resources in your neck of the woods, the losses for that could be borne, you know, more acutely by certain investors and not by the financial system and the economy as a whole.
You wish that they would get rid of the dot plot. I can't even say it. So maybe they should get rid of it.
I've been a long time critic of that dot plot, Carol. Yes.
It just what confuse. Some people think it provides some transparency. Why don't you like it?
I think it provides confusion about, you know, we get this endless sort of game of whose dot is whose, where, you know, is Chair Yellen this dot and that. So there's the confusion of that. There is the idea that the median dot is some sort of commitment or forecast from the committee. Like they're telling the market that they see three rate hikes because the median dot has three priced in. And I don't think that's true. So I think it sends the wrong message there. So I'd advocate just getting rid of it.
All right. We're gonna have to leave it on that note. Jeffrey Cleveland, thank you so much. He's chief economist at Payton & Riegel. Roughly $100 billion in assets under management. Joining us on the phone from Los Angeles on this Wednesday.